Last case for argument, Gomez v. Randall. Mr. Watkins. So you have the happy position of having no opponent. So
yes, Your Honor. May it please the court. On the morning of May 16th, 2009, a prison guard shot Raul Gomez in the arm.
Now, let me ask you, do we know what kind of shot this was? Was this bird shot or buckshot?
We don't know that, Your Honor. We do know that it was a pellet from a 12-gauge shotgun. That is all that was left.
Either, though.
Yes, at this stage, we don't know what it is, but it could be either. Raul Gomez was shot in the arm while waiting to be let back into a cell at the Stateville Correctional Center. Despite being in obvious pain and requesting medical care from three prison personnel, Mr. Gomez suffered from his gunshot wound for 4 days before receiving medical treatment. Weeks later, prison officials...
How do we know how he removed shotgun pellet from his arm?
Yes, Your Honor. We know that in his cell he somehow excised it from his arm and then treated it in his prison sink.
How did he remove it from his arm?
We don't know that at this stage, Your Honor.
That was the question. The question was, did we know? And you said yes, but you don't. We don't know how he got it out.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. We don't know exactly how. We do know the circumstances that he removed it himself in his cell.
And what happened to the bullet? The pellet?
That is not in the complaint either, Your Honor. He has alleged that certain property was taken from him, including the shirt with the bullet wound, but he does not state what happened to the
pellet.
The actual pellet.
So there was one pellet from the shotgun shell?
Yes, he alleged one pellet was shot. He was shot in the arm with one pellet. And we believe the district court erred in three ways when it dismissed Raul Gomez's complaint. First, Mr. Gomez stated a claim for deliberate indifference to a serious medical need when he alleged that three prison personnel prolonged and exacerbated his pain and suffering by recklessly disregarding this gunshot wound for 4 straight days. Second, the district court incorrectly applied the statute of limitations to Mr. Gomez's claim for excessive force by failing to toll it for the pendency of his administrative appeal. And finally, the district court failed entirely to address Mr. Gomez's properly pled retaliation claim when it dismissed his Section 1983 complaint. I will begin with Mr. Gomez's deliberate indifference claim. We ask that this court reverse the district court because in its memorandum opinion, the district court misstated the serious medical needs standard, and when the correct standard is properly applied, Raul Gomez has stated sufficient facts to allege that the three prison officials recklessly disregarded his gunshot wound. In its memorandum order, the court stated that Mr. Gomez, quote, cannot successfully invoke the serious medical needs standard established by Estelle v. Gamble, end quote, because he had no aggravation of his initial wound and his gunshot wound had since healed. However, this court has held that a prisoner states a serious medical need when he pleads that either the denial of treatment for the condition unnecessarily prolongs or exacerbates his pain and suffering, or when the seriousness of the condition is so obvious that even a lay person would perceive the need for a doctor's attention. A gunshot wound from a 12-gauge shotgun satisfies both standards. Furthermore, reading Mr. Gomez's complaint in a light most favorable...
Surely, the issue is the adequacy of the lawyer's motion, right? That's what the district judge relied entirely on, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So you have to show there's something wrong with a motion, right?
Yes, and we believe there was. There were three main things wrong with it.
Did the lawyer conduct an investigation?
In his motion to withdraw.
He did interview the plaintiff. Is that all he did, as far as we know?
According to his motion to withdraw, he interviewed the plaintiff and reviewed the relevant law.
Right. He didn't talk to anyone in the prison. Yeah.
That's correct, Your Honor. And we believe that in the motion to withdraw, the lawyer made three errors. First, he misstated the serious medical needs standard by saying required aggravation or a continuing injury. Second, he incorrectly applied the statute of limitations. And third, he did not even address the retaliation claim. And even considering those errors in law, the motion to withdraw did not state the facts.
What did he say? What did Barnett mean when he said none of the named defendants appear to have had any involvement in his injuries?
I believe he meant that the three or four defendants that were actually named in the brief did not cause Mr. Gomez's injuries. However, this is not required under a denial of or a deliberate indifference to serious medical needs claim. What matters in that case is not that they caused the injuries, but that they refused to treat them when they knew about them and they knew their seriousness.
So you read none of the named defendants appear to have any involvement in his injuries as meaning none of them caused the injuries?
That's how I read.
Involvement is vague. You know, could mean they weren't involved in the failure to treat either.
If that's the case, Your Honor, if reading that he meant that involvement meant failure to treat, then that misstates the facts. Mr. Gomez has alleged that he told each person and that even that he showed certain prison officials his wounded arm. Furthermore, when he showed it to him, he alleged that the arm was bruised, bleeding, and still had a shotgun pellet lodged in it. And finally, despite these pleas, he received no care for 4 days. Those allegations are all Mr. Gomez needs at this early stage in litigation to state a claim for deliberate indifference. I will now move on to Mr. Gomez's excessive force claim. In his complaint on March 15, 2011, Raul Gomez did not name the prison official who shot him, and by August 9, 2011, he had still not discovered that person's name. However, the district court incorrectly held that the statute of limitations, that the 2-year statute of limitations ran on May 16, 2011, which was 2 years after he was originally shot. Mr. Gomez was shot on May 16, 2009. However, he filed his prison grievance on that same day, and that administrative review tolls the statute of limitations until it ends. Mr. Gomez, in his complaint, alleged that he exhausted his administrative remedies. However, he is not sure when the administrative remedies were exhausted because prison officials had taken his legal correspondence and the administrative review board had not yet returned copies of the complaint to or of his grievance to him. On the face of the complaint, it is not clear when he exhausted his remedies or when the statute of limitations ran. Therefore, the judge erred by holding that the statute of limitations ran on May 16, 2011, and it was premature to dismiss the case at this time. Because the claim was dismissed for statute of limitations, and the court did not reach the excessive force claim on the merits. However, as laid out in our briefs, Raul Gomez sufficiently stated a claim for excessive force against the prison guard and should have been given the chance to discover and serve him. And I would also like to note that based on his complaint, or based on the affidavit in his complaint, Raul Gomez was not required to even file his administrative appeal with the review board until August 12, 2009. So even if he filed it on the last date, that would still be before the court reached its decision. And then finally, the district court failed entirely to address Raul Gomez's retaliation claim in its memorandum order. And Mr. Gomez has successfully stated a claim for that. He stated that he was engaged in a protected First Amendment activity when he petitioned the prison with his grievance, that he was suffered with a deprivation that would deter him when he was transferred to a prison where he has known enemies, and finally, that this activity was at least a motivating factor. He stated it many times that he was transferred because he was that the investigators stated that he was being transferred because he filed his grievance. And if there are no more questions, I would ask the court to reverse the decision and remand to the district court for further proceedings.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Watkins. You were appointed, were you not?
We were not appointed by the court, but we are doing this pro bono.
Pro bono. Well, we thank you very much for your efforts on behalf.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And the court will now stand in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.